Good morning.
Hey, Seattle.
As always, it's your girls, Jasmine and Shantae.
Welcome to another Thursday morning and another episode of The Way with Jazz and Tay.
We'll be bringing you lots of laughs and class to get you ready for the day and the weekend ahead.
Will it be the way or not the way? Find out and join the conversation.
Good morning. Welcome to The Way with Jazz and Tay. It's your girl, Jazz, and...
Shantae.
Welcome to another. Yeah, I think it's going to be a beautiful morning out here. It's one of those times where, because it's officially fall, it is still dark at 7 a.m. So it's still up in the air. We've had so much rain over here in Seattle. Thank you so much for staying true to who you are. welcome back, you guys. So we do have a special guest with us on us today. You guys, please welcome Mira.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
So Mira Craft has worked as a project and artist manager full-time for the past 4 years, while also running her brand development company, which is MKPR, a skilled and proficient creative director, PR strategist, event curator, and consultant. Craft connects dots, lifting her clients to success. So welcome. We are so excited to have you on with us today.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys. We're glad to be here.
Of course. So... here's what you can expect from today's show. We're going to keep it true to what we've been doing the last couple weeks and giving our the ways and not the ways of the week. I have an update for you guys on as far as mine goes. And then we're going to get into an interview with Mira. But Shantae, you want to go ahead and let the listeners know what we've got going on?
Sure. Just as you said, we're going to get into the way and not the way that we're going to interview Mira. But I always want to remind you guys that we have 30 and 60 second ad space. If you're a business owner, a creative, musician, whatever it may be that you want to put out to the public, we've got ad space for you. You can email us at thewayjt@gmail.com. You can DM us at thewayjazzandtay. You can even go to our website, www.thewayjtpod.com, and you can find out more about those rates.
Perfect. Additionally, don't forget to leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts. It really does help our show grow. And don't forget to follow us on IG at The Way with Jazz and Tay. We are so close to 1,000 followers, you guys. We are right around the corner. Please go ahead, tell everybody that you know to give us a follow, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is also The Way with Jazz and Tay. Lastly, like Shantae mentioned, you can stay up to date on our latest episodes and what's going on with us in general by checking out our website, which is thewayjtpod.com. Your support means everything to us, and we appreciate the love. Now that we've gotten our formalities out of the way, let's get into our The Way and Not the Way. All right, so I'd say we've been doing this for about like what, a month now, Tay? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so yeah. So it's been pretty consistent, and we've been having a really good time with it, and I personally, for mine this week, I have an update. My not the way is I got another parking ticket. Same situation, same street. And like, here's the thing. On the street that I'm parking on, there's even like an area, which I found out after all of this, that there is like technically all day parking. Like, it doesn't have to be like 2 hour parking, but here's the gag. Those spots are usually always taken, and they're usually like, they're also like way down the block, and I don't want to have to walk. There's tents, you guys. There's a couple of tents on the street because
those are valet tents. I'm just kidding.
I told you guys previously that, you know, it's a little rough. So I got another parking ticket. I'm not happy about it. And I don't know if it's the same person, but I gotta look at the last like receipt that it was, but I'm pretty sure it's the same parking enforcement officer. So I'm gonna take him a piece of my mind one of these days.
Remember when we said you were gonna say, hey, like you need to be giving them out consistently? They were like, we're looking for that
literally
Toyota every time now.
keeping it very consistent. And then the way for this week is, it's spooky season. You guys, it is spooky season and I'm so excited. I've decorated my office at work. I've gotten my nails done in a spooky way. I don't know if you guys can see, but they're like neon and there's like zombie hands. I got pumpkins, I got skeletons. I'm in full throttle here. Anytime I'm putting on a movie, it's gotta be a horror or thriller or something like that. You know, I'm not playing any games.
I have fully prepared.
Yeah, I'm fully prepared. I have 3 costumes.
I was just gonna say, how many you got set up this year? 3.
So here's the thing. One of them's for work, for the club. One of them is just like for my homegirl, like Elise. We're doing like this little thing. And then the other one is my sloth costume, which I always have to wear. I'm wearing it every single year. So that one I just at some point I throw in the mix.
Do you get any character for the sloth?
No, not yet.
I think you should.
I have seen a few improved like sloth costumes. Mine is supposed to be like a one size fits all, and it's ginormous. No, it is huge. Like,
it is it cozy?
It's very cozy. It's warm. It's cozy. Like, I live in it, and that's why I think I love wearing it every year. I'm like, this is the easiest costume for me. It's something that I love, and it's super cute.
Yeah,
and comfortable. But I do want to try to upgrade it. So stay tuned. It might be the same one. I might get a different one. You never know.
So I was referring more to like the character role of a sloth.
Like Sid?
Living like your best life and being lazy?
Pouring your drinks really slowly, walking very slowly, talking to people slowly.
Last year I tried that with Latia. She dressed up as, I don't know, what's her name from Watchmen? Sister Knight.
Ooh. Yes.
Yeah. Is that her name? Phew. So she dressed up as Sister Knight and then we like supposedly had a duel and I definitely lost because I was just way too slow in my approach. There's a little video somewhere. I'll try to find it.
I'll give you credit.
We're gonna have to pull that.
I'll give you the attempt. Good job.
But that's my not the way and my the way for the week. So at this point, you guys, let's see. I'm about $120 in parking tickets.
No, you know what's so sad is I have you beat.
Oh, I have more. No.
Which is so sad because that's not okay that you have that much. That's crazy.
You guys, what is this? Y'all are taxing out here. Seattle's already expensive. Like, I don't need to be paying these stupid parking tickets.
They got to fix the road somehow.
Yeah, but are they?
Right.
Well, no.
Right, but are they?
No, because you're not paying them. So.
They have the money.
No, they don't.
I've paid every single one of my tickets. Don't pay.
I feel like I've funded all the potholes being fixed in my speeding tickets alone. So I'm
dead.
I feel like they should definitely be fixed.
All right, we'll give you that too. All right.
Driving fast for taking one for the team, one driving speeding fast ticket.
Who wants to go next?
Let's go ahead and give our guests, let our guests go next.
Ooh, okay. Well, so I was gonna, my not the way was just gonna be that like technology has been playing games with me lately. Like,
Mercury retrograde.
It's in full effect. So it's really like happening. Everything's been cutting out. Things are crazy. You guys know the world we live in right now with the pandemic and everything. So much is virtual. So it's been a lot of meetings where people are just like glitching out. And I'm like, I thought I can pretend to hear you or we're going to have an awkward moment where you have to repeat everything amazing you just said.
Don't say that.
I'm having
tech
difficulties as we speak.
Yeah. As we speak. See, you get it. So at least it's on me. Like, thank you for at least not having it be me. But yeah, so that's just been, it's been playing games. And the way is right now I am currently like getting to apartment hunt. I've been living back and forth between LA and Seattle.
Okay.
And so I'm just getting the leases up. So I'm just looking at new spots and just kind of like refiguring out the new foundation for the next year, which is always fun. I'm just getting excited about like random little plants I want to buy and, you know, just like random decorating stuff.
Ooh, okay. I love that. You have like a little Pinterest board going?
You know, I do actually. I had one a minute ago. That's a good idea. I have to tap back into that because there's stuff that I like probably will still want to look at. And, like,
yeah, I'm over here fantasizing about like when I finally decide to like jump on some kind of property out here. I'm over here like saving ideas and things, you know, fantasizing about how can I make this look? And color schemes. And sure.
I have a whole board that's like dream home, and then I have one that's like, all right, this is feasible right now.
Right. Like, this is goals, but also here's realistic.
Yeah.
Here's some like stuff that I can DIY on a budget.
While I'm on my way to the mansion. Yeah. But yeah,
absolutely. So the way for the week is being able to, you know, drive and see family that you've not necessarily seen in a while. This past weekend, I actually went and saw my family in Kentucky. It was a quick, long turnaround trip, but it was so much fun. And I just really enjoyed myself and enjoyed seeing my family. I was able to see my grandma and like a lot of my cousins while I was there. So it was just a great trip and a lot of fun.
You know, I thought that's where you were, like, when I saw the people that you were with, but I was like, wait, no, she wouldn't be out there, like, and then on Sunday, you said something about how you were going to be driving for a minute, and I was like, oh, no, she was out there.
Yeah, they had a wigging out party, and...
Was it like a wigging out party?
Yeah, so everybody put on, like, these really terrible wigs.
Oh, but your wig was super cute.
I was Halle Berry, baby. Okay.
Hey, Halle Berry. Halle Berry.
I love this. Halle Berry. Wait, are there pictures? Picture it didn't happen.
Yeah, I'm gonna post them.
No, she looks super cute. I over here, I texted her. I was like, girl, did you cut your hair like even more?
Oh my god.
It looks super cute though. No, it was so beautiful.
Oh, I wanna
And it was funny during the party. I was like, when I got my hair cut recently, I was sitting in the chair and I was like, I kind of want a pixie cut, but I'm not going to do it. That's impulsive. And when I was wearing that wig, I was like, I might cut my hair on my birthday, like again, into a pixie cut. Cause it looked that good. I was like, this is a look. So that's my the way. And then my not the way are mosquitoes and other bugs that bite. I'm so tired of being itchy.
I love how you just like that transition.
Right.
Did you have another encounter with the red ant?
Yo, not a red ant. I think it was a spider this time, but y'all, like, my right leg is completely just covered in bug bites and it hurts so bad.
Oh,
that thing is making it not itch, and I'm just like kind of at my wit's end about it. So that's not the way.
Yeah, no, I feel you.
I'm sorry.
So I'm just going to keep it short. Bug bites, bugs in general. There's just a lot out here. Like, I'm ready to not be fresh meat anymore.
You know, I feel for you on that. I didn't, like, I keep seeing all of these videos because, like, it's that year of all the cicadas, you know? Like, those things are everywhere. And those things are huge.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, we don't... Yeah, those things are huge. And, you know, like, the last, like, couple weeks, we had, like, a couple big spiders in the house, and I was ready to burn the house down. So, I don't even know. Like,
time to move.
Yeah, no, I just...
It's making me itch just talking
about
it. I'm
sorry. I know, look, I'm over here scratching my neck.
So that was our way and not the way. Loved all the topics, you guys. But before we get into our interview with Mira, we're going to go ahead and jump into a quick 2 to 3 minute break. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Way with Jazz and Tay.
Psst. Hey, you. Yeah, you, girl. I just had to run and tell y'all about my favorite licensed esthetician, Easy Aesthetics by Elise. She helps me keep it right and tight, okay? I'm talking facials for your face, booty, and meow. Not only is she amazing at skincare services, but she also provides teeth whitening, body contouring, and services for men too. Book her for a private session, a kickback spa day with your girls, or date night with your man. Whatever you have in mind, just ask and she'll let you know how she can service you. Now that's what I call top-tier full service. DM her on Instagram for rates and services at Easy E Aesthetics. Again, that's Easy E Aesthetics with a Z. Tell her Jazz sent you. Now hurry before she books up.
Tune into the Well You Ask podcast with T1 D Live at 5 and DJ BBD. This is the podcast where you ask us a question and we will talk about it. Catch us every Wednesday live on Facebook and YouTube at 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. You can also listen to us on all podcast streaming platforms.
Don't let that herd mentality lead you off a cliff. We support Thinking for Yourself on Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey, hey, welcome back to The Way with Jazz and Tay. It's your girl Jazz and
Shantae.
We do have a special guest on with us, Mira Kraft. Say what's up.
Hey, hey, thanks for having me.
Of course, thanks for being here. So before the break, we did our very quick little The Way and Not The Way. And now we're going to go ahead and get into our interview with Mira. So what we're going to be talking about is her company, MKPR, as well as discuss some of the other girl boss things that she does, like her partnership with Park Ave. And, you know, we're friends with Scarlett Park. We love her.
Yeah.
First and foremost, congratulations on 4 years of your company, MKPR.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's long 4 years.
I was gonna say, that's a really big feat.
That is. That's a milestone. Tell us a little bit more about that. Like, tell us more about the company and like how it feels to be in it 4 years.
Yeah, I always like to say I'm like 2 years and some COVID time. You know what I mean? I'm like, or like 3 years and some COVID time. But
oh yeah, wow, that's great.
Yeah, and like I measure it a little bit differently. Things were happening, you know, everyone had to repivot so much. It almost feels like a reset. But yeah, I mean, I started back in 2017. I quit my corporate job and went out to Europe to work with a client that I was managing. And my thought process then was I've been lucky enough to travel. I have family in the UK, and so I've spent time over there. And I've just gotten to see like the both obviously are like unmatched talent in the Seattle music scene. And then I was also going over to the UK and seeing a lot of just like a lot of music and a lot of branding energy that was super cohesive with what's going on over here. And so it was really just kind of about going out there, checking out the opportunities, seeing, you know, who from the States could we be bringing out over there, who that I'm working with over there can come out to Seattle or LA and show their talent. And it's really also cohesive with obviously with what Park Ave is doing, and just kind of like allowing musicians and amazing talent to network and just connect the dots and watch amazing creativity happen from there. So that's just kind of like the foundation. It feels crazy that it's been 4 years now. I can't believe that. I'm like, oh my God, which it's like, it's bittersweet. I think sometimes, you know, I'm sure you guys can relate, like just the feeling of being, you know, start having your own work that you're in charge of. There's like a lot of imposter syndrome that can come in with that. You know, like I've had to force myself to take myself seriously and really kind of, and then also, you know, humble myself if needed when I need to like really, you know, pay attention to what I need to be learning and stuff like that. But so it's been both a contrast of like imposter syndrome, but then also feeling like, whoa, I've been working full time in my own company. Like I'm, you know, somehow, if someone were to ask me like how I've been surviving financially, like when starting your company, like, I have no idea. Somehow I'm here. Somehow I'm here, you know, but like that is such a just like, that's not a copy and paste template as far as when you're getting started. It's just right. Like, you know, it's so just the variables all change what happens. So yeah, I'm just here kind of in awe and ready to keep going, I guess.
I'd like to kind of go back to something that you said while answering that question. So you said that during COVID, you kind of had to pivot. So what your company was going to look like, you know, 2 years or two years ago, and what it looks like now has to be completely different. So how did COVID change the way you were working and the way you were doing things?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, I mean, I guess obviously the biggest thing that affected our creative industry is just the fact that we couldn't be doing events. You know, I met you guys through events, you know what I mean? So it's like, that's such a big part of our world. And not being, and it's a big part of the money that we're able to bring clients, but even Park Ave. Park Ave was generating over $100,000 the year prior to COVID for its artists in the programs that it was doing. So that's something amazing that Scarlett was able to do. And to have all of those opportunities just completely like, poof, you know, like, no, we couldn't go perform, nothing could happen. So just kind of really repivoting in, yes, like, we know now we have more time to make the content that we'd already been talking about, but like, where do we start thinking of revenue and what's going to be coming in while touring isn't happening, while we're not selling merch at shows, while, you know, whatever. Right. So just kind of really finding, I think COVID forced a lot of people to rebuild their foundation and like reassess, like, you know, this is what I know I need to have so that I'm okay no matter whether we're in quarantine or not. And then, you know, but it also shows you the parts of the company that are resilient and long lasting, right? Like, what are the little black dresses of your work that are just timeless, that, you know, it doesn't matter where in a pandemic we are, like, that's something that always is going to have a demand that you can supply. So I think just, there's similarities in my company in the sense that MKPR exists to help people brand themselves. I think a lot of people hear PR in the company name and assume that it's just to do PR and get press. But I'm a strong believer that your best PR is word of mouth. And so MKPR exists to like help clients tell people how to talk about them. So that's still the same. And then the ways that we fundraise and bring in money and maybe the types of events that we're doing or even conversations that are being held, if it's a panel or something like that, that's what's shifted around the times.
Okay. That's very cool. And I loved your answer. I also love that analogy of the little black dress, you know, the things that are timeless. We definitely were forced to pivot as well, but, you know, there were staples of obviously what we're doing. I think it's very easy to take a podcast virtual, but I think we actually kind of relished in being in quarantine because we were like, we can make all the content. So I definitely appreciate that. What does a day in the life look like for you?
Yeah. Oh man. Well, okay. Let's see. That can be so different. Like, I think it really just, because I'm working with so many different clients, a day kind of is a little bit of whiplash. It's definitely like all over the place. And right now I'm working with Nikita on their campaign. So a day in the life right now is definitely like, it's kind of weird. I'll be sitting in a studio and we're going over songs and mixes, and then I'll get a call on like some initiative that I need to answer the campaign for and phone for, hop out of the room. So just a lot of different types of art. I think I'll go from one meeting kind of going over music, and then I'll maybe meet with, you know, a different startup that I'm working with that we're figuring out their marketing. And then I might be going to a meeting where we're talking about a different panel. So it's just a lot of different types of conversations.
Right.
You know, it's not necessarily all within the same niche. So a day is just kind of, it covers a lot of ground. Or to be honest, a day in the life of might also just be some like Netflix and me living my best life.
Absolutely.
Hey, no, exactly.
Yeah. Gotta have both.
That's self-care. That's self-care right there.
Mm-hmm.
No, you've got to schedule that in, especially as a small business owner, like, because I read a meme recently and it was like, you know, people are always saying like, ditch your 9-to-5 and start your own business. But then you realize once you start your own business that you work 24/7.
Work way more. Yeah.
So no, I definitely get that. To that point of it, how do you balance or juggle all of those meetings? And like, do you use any like technology or like a Trello board to keep yourself organized? Like, what do you do to just make sure that you're not dropping any balls and that you're meeting all your clients' needs?
Yeah, no, thank you for asking. I'm like, let me think of other ways I can keep doing that. I have different apps for different clients. So because some of my clients were, you know, some I might be working with on project management, which means that I'm not going to necessarily be managing their inbox, but some clients I do. So, I mean, my email gives me enough like of one ulcer alone. So I have to have a completely different like app and inbox for my clients so that it's not just like all coming in on one spot. And then also just like I'm Google, yo, I'm a free ad for them. I use all like every single app in existence. Google Keep saves me. It allows you to like tick off what you've been doing and check it off, but it still shows you so I can keep track. And then I have like notes of what to monitor. Like if I've put placeholders for events, I need to know to monitor it and take it off if it was confirmed or not. Like I'm someone that always in my head, I'm like, oh, I'll remember that. No, I won't. Like, no, yeah. I won't. No, I will not. I will not remember that. So I've gotten into a routine of no matter how little I think like, oh, it'll be fine. Like, no, no, it won't. So
at least write it down.
Write it down. So I have just like a to monitor note that just like reminds me of stuff. You might find like post-it notes stuck to me sometimes when I'm walking around. So it's a little, it's well-oiled different machines per client. You know what I mean? It's like different organization methods based on what we're doing.
I like that. I definitely think not going with the one size fits all, but going with like what works for that client is a really great approach.
Yeah.
Do you have a staff? Like, do you have...
Yeah.
Do you have people that work for you or like with you?
Sounds so fancy, a staff. I do not have a staff that I'm like delegating to. I do have a team. I have a team that I work with. I have a great intern who we, during COVID, she went off to repivot as well. So just starting to kind of like assess now that it looks like events are kind of coming back, rehiring an intern is definitely first on the list. But I do have a team. I mean, it's like,
here's the thing that
the projects change so much. So I have kind of like a Rolodex of people that I'm so grateful to be able to bring in when it's applicable.
Okay.
So I definitely do have if you check out my website, it lists the different people that I work with. So like different photographers or different graphic designers that would be available to work with my clients and on a project by project basis.
Cool. Okay. So, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I have so many questions.
I know, like,
I'm here for it.
So I checked out your Shout Out LA article. Congratulations on that. It was really great. Really found some things that resonate with how we work and kind of how we felt about some stuff. And I guess I kind of want to go back to the whole being at 4 years. So, you know, hindsight is always 20/20. What piece of advice would you give yourself at the very beginning of those 4 years, or what piece of advice would you give someone who's looking at this same career path?
Mm-hmm. Oh man. It's funny because I always joke that I think I needed a little bit of the ignorance when I started. I was so like, I think, energy came along with that ignorance. You know what I mean? I think a lot of not knowing, And again, now knowing the hardships I've gone through in this adventure, I would still do it. There's nothing that I would change or go back. But I think not knowing some of the feelings and just the hardships and stress that you're going to feel on that journey was really necessary, especially for me to be, I had a really comfy corporate job that I had worked really hard to move up in. So like quitting something that was such a predictable income for me and like one that matched my, my lifestyle was really hard. So I think I definitely like needed that part of me that just thought everything would be okay a lot quicker. what I mean? I guess the advice I would just have is for someone just kind of getting started, or at least what I would have given myself, is to really value like the time and steps and realize that there's not just this one moment where the opportunity is going to arrive on a silver platter. You know what I mean? Mm. It's just not. And I mean, one quote I really love is, luck is when preparation and opportunity meet. So it's it's really, it's kind of a lot of hurrying up and waiting. You know what I mean? You've got to always be prepared. And yeah, you want to be open for opportunity, but it's up to you to create what's going on, especially in this world where you're deciding to be your own boss and your own, own your own business. It's really up to you. You don't have a boss who's going to yell at you if you stayed home that day. So like, you have to be the one doing that, hold yourself accountable, treat yourself like someone you would want doing those things for you.
Absolutely.
Because it's hard.
Oh, yeah. You said something in your article with Shout Out LA that it really resonated. And you said it was basically a question about, you know, what was it that made you start your business? And you said, if not now, then when? And that resonated with me because that's where we were. three years ago. Yep. We'd just been talking about it for 2 years. And it was like, so are we going to do this? Are we just going to keep talking about it?
Because,
like, what are we doing here?
So, I guess
from that, what I want to know, was there like a pivotal moment in your life where you were like, it's today? And if so, what was it? What was that?
You know, it's so funny you ask because I didn't know that I had an answer to this, but a specific moment came to my head when you just asked me. So before I quit my corporate job, I was kind of like juggling. So I was an artist manager to a hip hop musician, and I was kind of like juggling that. And then I was doing, I was working as a brand ambassador for a tonic water company. So I was kind of getting my feet wet in the entrepreneurial world, or just kind of like seeing what clicked for me, which is funny. Like, I don't know why that kind of started. I, in my mind, was still very committed to my corporate job, but just kind of couldn't stay away. And I remember one day I had like, I'm always doing the most and think that I can fit a million things in one day. So during my shift, like where I'm supposed to be sitting at my cubicle, I had already booked like a meeting to go meet someone for the tonic water. And then I ran to the studio. And so like, I go into the studio session, everyone's like smoking. I come out smelling like smoke. I'm like, I gotta go to the corporate office. What's going on? And I ran in and I got work done and, you know, it was fine. And then my mom came and met me to drop something off. And I hopped in her car really quick outside the corporate lobby. And I was so tired, I just like stopped. I just kind of like sat in her car for a second before getting out. I was like, sorry, I'll get back out in a second. She just was asking me, what's up? And I was just like, you know, I'm so exhausted. I was just telling her how much I really wanted to kind of be an entrepreneur and start my own thing and really start working with artists. And my mom is such a G. She just turns to me and she's like, if you want to be an entrepreneur, it's time to like go be an entrepreneur. Like, what, if you want to be one, go be one. What are you thinking is going to get you ready to get started? You know what I mean? Right. Like those, and I really, that clicked with me. It's such a simple sentence. Like, if you want to do it, do it. But it was kind of that moment for me where I realized like I was expecting to like have this really strong foundation to like go build one. And like, that's right. Not how it works. The opportunity, you have to be out there risking yourself to meet the people that are your next opportunity. You know what I mean? It's like, that's how the networking goes. And so if you want to be an entrepreneur, if you want to own your own business, like create the business and own it.
It's so funny that you say that, because that's so true. There's no like, you don't go to college for entrepreneurship or like, to be right. An entrepreneur, that, like, you know,
right. No, and that's where I struggled so much. I think I was looking for this, like, you know, come to this university, and when you get out, you're gonna be a hella rich CEO. no one was saying that to me, so I had yet to go to college. But if someone did, I might be interested.
Jazz, do you have any questions? I have one more. I wanted to give you the space.
No, you're totally good. I'm really enjoying that. Mira, you are so fun to listen to. And
thank you.
I feel like you're very insightful. You have a lot of knowledge, it sounds like, in what you're talking about. So
thank you.
I'm actually really taking this as like a learning opportunity, honestly.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, no, of course. Tay, you can go ahead.
Okay, so I'll just ask one more before we go into another quick break. I guess, you said that networking was a big part of it. And I think that's true with any small business and starting out. You have to know people in order to start a business. So what I wanted to know was, like, how did you build this great network that you have? Was it a lot of face-to-face at events? I know you said in the shout out article that you were an MC at some point. Did you know a lot of these people already? And what did that look like? Also, like, where did you MC at? I just want to know if we've ever been, because I'm like, where was she at?
Yeah. So that's actually, that is one of the main reasons that I'm lucky to say that a lot of my friends are just badass creatives doing stuff that I've been lucky to just kind of be in the place and get to witness what they're working on. I guess my first endeavor was the open mics without I was hosting. And so, when I was 21, I was 20 because the bar that we were hosting the open mic at, I technically was not supposed to be in when I got the gig. And then I celebrated my 21st birthday, like at one of my events. And I remember the owner like realizing that and being like, I hosted at the Scarlet Tree and then also at Bear Gallery. I was a big, attender and supporter of Cornerstone Open Mic that was at Fair in Cap Hill. That was like a big staple. I got to kind of be in the creative world and experience that. But it when at that time, I was not thinking of it in that lens where I was like, these are people that I'm going to be working with. And then that was just something that I was always around. I didn't realize like, hey, Mira, you really love being in the studio, but you're not a musician. Maybe there's something here. but I was just always in the studio and I was always finding myself thinking of like when I hear a song, I start seeing colors for the campaign. I start imagining the music video. I start seeing like, oh, this bar is like about a bag. Now we need to like go do this and design this and start marketing with this brand. So that's kind of just what was already naturally happening. And so I think I was lucky enough to kind of already be naturally networking when I didn't know it. And that was a big part. But then also, just kind of like stepping back out in the scene and doing events and just kind of Seattle's bubble is so interesting. It's really small, but then there's these other pockets where it's like people are completely outside of the scene that we're centered in. And so it's been really interesting to kind of just broaden that horizon and see what people are doing and connect them with other people, because it's like at the end of the day, I'm just kind of here to be like, you know what? You're a filthy bass player. You're filthy at drums. Like, I really could see you guys hitting it off if you met. You know what I mean? Those dots.
That's very cool.
That's really dope. That sounds kind of like, DJ Khaled-esque in a way, like he's
here
always,
for it.
He's always like, oh, I'm going to put you and you on a track and then it's a hit. Like, like a curator,
Totally.
You're number one.
Yeah.
We the best. Period.
How do you decipher like a good business opportunity or a client relationship between like the not so great ones, Is there something that like they'll do and you're like, that's a no-no? Right, like, do you have a no-no list or are there things that you watch out for?
Totally. Yeah. I just went through something similar to this. I definitely think what our intuition, like that is our guardian angel, right? Like that is what we have. I'm a full believer in, my intuition, whether it's had its good days or bad days, is like why I'm sitting here right now. You know what I mean? So I'm a big, I try to pay attention to that and really kind of just like, if something doesn't feel right, it's probably not. Mm. Being in LA comes like everyone. Let me preface this with I'm loving it and there's a lot of opportunity out there. That being said, everyone is there for that opportunity. And so I think you meet a lot of people who can do everything for you. I'm going to change your life. I can, if you just do da 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 with me, your whole life will be different. And that's when I hear stuff like that, that's when I'm like, thank you for letting me know you can't do anything. Noted, got it. Okay.
Yes.
You just dropped a million names. You probably can't help at all. Just gut intuition, honestly. I wish that there was a better answer, but that's really what I have. sometimes you're wrong but the losses are, I take those as lessons. I know that sounds like a little corny saying, but for real, when something goes wrong, I realize I could be bummed about this or I can be hyped that I have an answer of how to navigate things and what not to do moving forward.
Because a client's going to ask me. Next time. Exactly. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So just, you know, just kind of like following my gut. And then just, I think also one thing really quick is that the opportunities that I have had to say no to, or, you know, quote unquote opportunities that I've had to say no to because something wasn't right. I just trust that, like, that wasn't an option. If it wasn't right, then there's nothing to mourn here. You know what I mean? I think also trusting, like, I know that I'm not going to give up. I know that I'm going to do the work for what I want for my life and what my clients want for theirs. And so the beauty in that is knowing that there's going to be some success, you know? Right. And it's not, I think the worst position you can be in when negotiating or networking is in a place of desperation. You know, you never want to feel like, oh, this is the person that's going to do everything, because, like, no, we need to be our foundation. And also acknowledge, like, no, we can't do everything ourselves. Other, you know, self-made even involves other people, you know?
Oh, yeah.
We had someone who tried to, you know, flirt with the idea of, like, potentially sponsoring us and whatnot. And then, like, we realized after a couple, like, you know, we did have, like, I feel like professional meetings, but then after a couple, he borderlined on not being professional. We were like,
but I feel like we've run into that multiple times.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
And that's the thing.
No, it's whack.
Yeah.
That happened to me last week.
Yeah. Like, if we're talking, if you come to us about business, that's what it is.
Yeah.
You know, don't try to, like, once you've gotten in the door on a business front, try
Ain't
to.
No pleasure involved.
Okie doke me into, hey, so you trying to get dinner or, like, something that's just, like, so inappropriate. Like, why are we even here?
No, completely. That happens seriously. I mean, you know what? When I have a sense that that's their motive, you know, of course, I don't want to assume and just be like rude.
If, someone's
giving me a reason. But if someone is giving me those reasons, like, especially in LA, I make it clear. Like, one, you know, one guy was trying to pretend that it was, you know, around work and for his clients. But, like, I just, why? Like you said, why are you talking about dinner then? Or, you know, what's going on?
Yeah.
So, like, I make my rates clear. Like, I've even cut off someone asking me to dinner and be like, yeah, that first thing that you said about your client, like, I really can help here. This is what I do. I feel like I can uplift, and this is what it would cost. Let me know.
There you go. Right.
Pivot. I like that.
Pivot.
You know, like, yes. And then it's like, sometimes people adapt. I've met some people that are like, you know, oh, yep. And they put that side of them away. They save that for someone else. And then they put their business hat on.
And they'll respect you more for that. They know, like, okay, well, she's about her business. Then, all right, let's go. You know, I'm not
and
the
if
one.
You don't, right. And if they don't, then I don't need to, like, I don't have anything to prove, or, you know what I mean?
It's right.
Whatever. Yeah.
I appreciate that. Those are all really great nuggets.
We're
going to continue our conversation after the break, but we're going to go ahead again and get into a 2 to 3 minute break. Stay tuned. You guys are listening to The Way with Jazz and Tay.
Tune into the Whale You Ask podcast with T1 D-Live at 5 and DJ BBD. This is the podcast where you ask us a question and we will talk about it. Catch us every Wednesday live on Facebook and YouTube at 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. You can also listen to us on all podcast streaming platforms.
Psst. Hey, you. Yeah, you, girl. I just had to run and tell y'all about my favorite licensed esthetician, Easy Aesthetics by Elise. She helps me keep it right and tight, okay? I'm talking facials for your face, booty, and meow. Not only is she amazing at skincare services, but she also provides teeth whitening, body contouring, and services for men too. Book her for a private session, a kickback spa day with your girls, or date night with your man. Whatever you have in mind, just ask and she'll let you know how she can service you. Now that's what I call top tier full service. DM her on Instagram for rates and services at Easy E Aesthetics. Again, that's Easy E Aesthetics with a Z. Tell her Jazz sent you. Now hurry before she books up.
Make us part of your daily routine. Alternative Talk, 1150.
Welcome back to The Way with Jazz and Tay. It's your girl Jazz and
Shante.
And if you guys are just joining us, we do have a special guest with us, Miracraft. Say what's up.
Hey, what's up?
Before the break, we went into an interview with her, and we actually took a lot away from it. She gave us a lot of good nuggets. She's been in business with her company for the last 4 years, so that was really awesome. We're going to go ahead and pivot. I think that's my word for today. Pivot. we're going to pivot and we're going to kind of continue the conversation, but we're going to get your ideas and thoughts on some current events and even some past topics that we've talked about as they're still relevant and somehow resurfacing. Certain things
funny
that, I
how
wish,
that happens.
Right, certain things I wish could have just stayed in the past, but yet here we are.
Yeah.
you know, we're sure that you've heard about, you know, DaBaby's Rolling Loud comments.
Yeah.
You know, he made some very unfortunate comments about, you know, the LGBTQIA community.
Yeah.
From your perspective, you know, and if he were your client, an MKPR client, how would you have handled that situation? Or like, what would you have advised him to do differently? Like, if this was your,
Yeah, I don't envy the publicist on that one. I think actually a really interesting topic, I think 50 Cent brought this up, that there wasn't, that it was really kind of showing of just the team around DaBaby and like kind of what was happening and how long it kind of took to remedy that and speak to it.
Hey.
And you know, and but it did highlight, I think that that's an important topic of one, like, I'm not condoning anything, and I do think it needed to be responded to immediately. But it also shows the atmosphere that we live in, where like it, where brands that we're expecting answers from really just have publicists behind them coming up with that answer. Mm-hmm. And what is this? You know, what is with? I guess let me with things like that. My mind doesn't go publicist. My mind goes like, what is really the important conversation to have here? And I think with that naturally comes, like, if people can understand that that's being taken seriously, maybe that does generate some good press or whatever, but that's not where my mind goes when I think about it. My thought is more so in how I would handle it if I was getting that call that my client said that, is one, talking with my client and discovering what happened there, right? Like, that's one that needs to be the root, is like, what the hell just happened? And also kind of like openly and honestly highlighting that conversation with the public is kind of a way of approach I would want to do, because I think that while it's good to respond to something, I think we also live in such a cancel culture that we live in doesn't leave room for honest conversation.
Absolutely.
And so people are either performing like their type of activism or being woke or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, or they're failing to kind of like respond and speak on what needs to be spoken on so we can move forward in life. And
you know,
so, yeah, I think that's highlighting that.
I think that's a good point, because especially with him, I feel like he definitely was immediately kind of more so like defensive, because like, you know, rather than really wanting to like listen as to like why what he was saying,
why people were upset.
Yes, you know, he was more defensive, and then like you were saying, you know, it took a minute for him to even come around to saying anything, and then like the statement that he did post was a post and delete, like it didn't even last.
Because the publicist probably saw it and was like, dog, that's not the good one. Like, take that down.
You feel
it's
me?
It's not like, real, you know? It's performing.
Well, it might. And that's the thing, too, to where it's like, you know, I don't... Does every celebrity have a publicist? Like, do you just... Is that just with the package?
They should.
I think it would be weird if they didn't, just because I know, like, so many people who aren't famous who have publicists, that if you're in the spotlight to that extent, it would be very helpful to have one. But I also think that it depends on the brand, right? If you have, let's say I'm sure like very open comedians or someone have publicists as well, but I think that it depends. If you're someone who's very organically kind of like, there's not a whole lot of fluff to your brand and how you're presenting yourself, and it's very kind of drawn back and just scaled to like, you know, what's up with you, then like I think there's just different approaches, right?
That makes
and
sense.
There's different ways to handle things. But I'm sure everyone, I would be surprised.
It could be like those types of people I could see having a publicist strictly for like damage control.
Absolutely.
Right.
Or you know,
Chris
like,
Brown definitely has gone through
Kevin Hart.
Publicists. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for real.
And even with like some, I'm sure with like some of these artists, like DaBaby, like if he's with a label, like say Sony, for instance, I don't think he is with Sony, but like say Sony, I'm sure they're like, he cannot be signed without having at least an image consultant or someone who's going to be there to clean up this mess, because it looks bad on Sony.
It could be written like, in the
contract. It's a liability for them. Yeah.
True.
Or like to Roc Nation, I'm sure.
That makes sense.
I met like in a quick passing the baby's manager at a songwriting session. And so we, you know, like keep in touch like online. And I saw kind of like how he was processing everything happening online after the DaBaby's comments, and just kind of like what it was interesting for me more so to watch how the team was handling it, just as someone like nerding out on, you know, on like the publicist world. But so it's kind of seeing him, how he handled it, and just kind of, you know, working. A lot of other people were responding to him because they weren't able to speak directly with the baby. And so they were trying to like kind of get some answers or maybe a dialogue, or other people who were coming in a friendly way and saying, you know, we understand like what backlash he might be dealing with, especially as like a Black man saying these things. And so like what aspect comes with that? And then there, you know, so I think that there was a lot of people reaching out with different things, at least what I was seeing him post about. And so it was more so interesting for me to see how the team was sweating and, you know, like kind of seeing how they wanted to handle it. I was
because I'll be honest, in that situation, it was probably his team that was sweating more than DaBaby. DaBaby was probably sitting back just drinking some mimosas.
He was chilling. He was so unbothered. Oh, he was so unbothered.
Like, he didn't care. He still probably doesn't care. Like, and we know that. I think that's another thing that can be said is that it kind of goes to this whole, I don't know if you guys have seen previews of The Closer by Dave Chappelle.
Last night, literally, we live in a matrix, I just saw it.
I haven't watched it yet, but I've seen the clip where he talks about DaBaby, and DaBaby murdered a man in Walmart. And that's kind of what I keep saying is like,
I thought it was self-defense.
It was, but he still murdered a man in Walmart.
Right. Like, in Walmart.
Like, regardless of the fact, like, you know.
Just Walmart sticking true to its culture.
Walmart, you know.
Right.
But something that I've always said about DaBaby is that like people really get upset when he says stuff, and I'm like, but it's kind of like Kanye jumping up when Taylor Swift won Video of the Year over
Beyonce.
What are you expecting? This man has come out many a times and said, I don't care about this industry stuff. I won't be a sellout. I'm gonna stay DaBaby. I'm gonna stay North Carolina to the day I die. So I'm just kind of like, I do understand that what he said was ignorant, and I think that that needs to be addressed, because obviously you have this platform. It's like either educate yourself or be quiet on situations that don't affect you. But at the same time, I'm like, why are y'all mad? Like, y'all, we knew what we were getting ourselves into.
Mm-hmm. No, completely. Yeah. It's like, I mean, it's a wolf in wolf clothing. Like, why are we, you know, not him specifically, but in situations like that.
Yeah.
Know? Like, so,
Do you think that the Dave Chappelle, show helped him or helped his image at all?
I haven't seen it, so I'm only going on, like, I haven't watched it yet.
I've already seen people be like, Dave, nobody knew that DaBaby killed somebody. Like, you're not doing him a favor. No,
it's just digging up old dirt.
Literally, they're like, no, the fans, these people, nobody needed to know this.
Nothing's really gonna be canceled.
It's like one of those memes where it's like, nobody ever, Dave Chappelle, DaBaby murdered someone.
Literally, right.
That's exactly
literally.
It. I was like scratching my head, like, why did he have to bring that up?
And it's funny because I only know that, Tay, because you told me. Like, that's not even something, like, I feel like you really have to go digging for that.
But, like, that's the thing, too, is when DaBaby, right, when DaBaby came about, like, there was, like, a fight in a jewelry store or something.
Oh,
and I remember us being like, who is this guy? And I remember telling Jasmine, I was like, he's not really, like, the good guy ever. Like, he's the bad guy. Like, and so that's why it's like with this whole Rolling Loud situation and everything, I'm like, I mean, this is typical DaBaby. Like, this is a man who idolizes Suge Knight.
And on that note, you need to pivot.
Yes.
That is the word of the show. That is
Mic
the word
drop.
Of the show. Before we sign off, though, Mira, thank you so much for joining us. Having you on was yeah, was awesome. It really took a lot away from the interview. And thanks for giving us some insight as a PR about DaBaby and his not so fortunate comments.
But for, I don't know what the insight's worth, but
his hashtag not the way comments.
Yeah.
Let the people know, you know, where they can find you, how they can support you and show you love.
Yeah, thank you. So my website is miracraft.com. That has kind of like, that's the foundation. You can go there and just check out what I've been working on, who I work with. And then it has my socials as well. Instagram is miracraftpr or miraclecraft. Both of those, one's my personal, one's the business, but kind of both are business. And then, yeah, you can shoot me an email at mira@miracraft.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us. You guys, thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode. Until next time, bye.
As always, thank you so much for tuning into The Way. Catch you next week, same time, same place. Follow us on Instagram at The Way Jazz and Tay and on Twitter at The Way JT.
Don't be afraid to DM us if you have any questions or suggestions about the show. Until next time, bye.
Peace.